ways of righteousness, yes, God. Jesus. We know that your scripture is profitable for this. Yes, and so, Father, God, we thank you. And we receive with open hearts, with a happy spirit. Yeah, and we just thank you, Lord, that we get to partake and to just sit and eat right now, God. Let us eat of your word. Let us eat of the scroll. God, fill us up, and we thank you for blessing Pastor Matthew, God, and we just declare that everything that you said to him will come and flow through him and to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tiffany. Good morning. Man, it's so good to be here. Wasn't that worship good?
Yes.
Oh, can we just get back into it? Just stay there for another 30 minutes. Incredible testimony from Uganda, and then what's going on with Ghana. So awesome. Well, Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing.
Amen.
Jesus is on the throne.
Amen.
We rejoice in that, and thank you that we got rebaptized in your love this morning.
Amen.
Lord, just baptize us fresh in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever felt like your Christian life was a bit of a roller coaster ride? You're up, you're down. You're up, you're down. You're good, you're not. You're somewhere in between. Like, God, Lord, just throw me a bone here. Can I just stay on the mountaintop? Who prefers the mountains to the valleys? Yeah, we all do, right? But we also know that the nature of our Christian life is sort of like those cycles of Israel, maybe not to that extent. We're not making golden calves or worshiping Baal. But yeah, we're doing really good. And then have you ever had a situation where right on the heels of one of your greatest spiritual moments, maybe a mission trip or God's answer to prayer or some testimony, then suddenly, mysteriously, it's followed by something bad happens or you have sort of a downturn. Does anybody know what that feels like? Me too. And over the last 30 years of doing my best to keep my eyes on this man, Jesus of Nazareth, I found out that there's one secret here, and this is what I want to talk to you this morning. It's in John 15, and it's one word, and it's called what? Abide. A-B-I-D-E. Just simply to abide. I don't have it on the screen. This just came to me this morning, but I think I mentioned it week before last. Before we get to John 15, let me just tell you in 1 Kings 19. Remember, this is a type and shadow from the prophets from the Old Testament. But in 1 Kings 19, do you remember in 18, Elijah had just defeated the famous prophets of Baal. And it was this dramatic scene where God just shows up. And then, so he hits this mountaintop, literally, experience where God just destroys his enemies. And then in verse 19, verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel, who was the wicked queen, and all that Elijah had done, also he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods," little g gods, "do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So there's this threat coming against them. And when he saw that, Elijah arose and ran for his life. Oh, mighty man of faith and valor. "I'm going to get you," Elijah says, the wicked queen. He's like, "Wah!" He takes off. And we kind of wish sometimes the Bible were different. Like, wait a second, that's not how the story's supposed to go. And when he saw that, he ran for his life and went to Beersheba and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness, came and sat down under a tree. He prayed that he might die. What? This is the guy filled with the Spirit of God that called down fire from heaven, destroyed the wicked prophets of Baal, and then next scene, turn the page, he's suicidal. What is going on? And, you know, it goes through the scene. Fortunately, God sends an angel there. He looks and he's provided food for him and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and God begins to speak to him. The angel begins to minister to him through a message from the Lord. He went and, you know, times are tough. He's sleeping in a cave and he spent the night in that place. The word of the Lord again came to him and says, "What you doing here, Elijah?" So many times in my life when I've been in this place of, man, God's moving, like, where did God go? The Lord comes to me to prune and to purify. The word of the Lord comes to adjust my perspective and say, wait a second, Matthew, what are you doing? Where are you right now? Not where are you? He's not talking to me about location. He's talking to me about my heart. Like, where is your heart right now? And Elijah's response is, man, I've been so fired up for God. I've been zealous is the word used in the New King James for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, Lord, tore down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I'm alone left and they seek to take my life. God, where all my friends go? What's happening to America? Lord, what's happening here? Wait, whoa, everything just feels unhinged. It feels shaky. It feels unnerving. But in verse 11, God said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But guess what? The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Who loves the fire of God? So zealous, so fired up. But guess what? God wasn't in the fire either. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children have torn down, you know, all that stuff. I'm left alone and they still seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint this guy as king. And God began to turn this thing around. And at the end of the story, he says, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, Elijah. You think you're alone. You think you're the only one in your family. You think you're the only one on your job or at your school or whatever. He's like, no, there are thousands. There are thousands upon thousands that I have reserved, that I have put a heart for me in them. But you could miss it if you're only looking for the hoop hoop hooray, the hip hip hurrah, the earthquake, the fire, the whirlwind. What's the secret here? The secret comes back to that one word that I said, abide. Abide. You see, otherwise, here's my story. Maybe you could relate. You'll either feel throughout, and I love even Jo Ellen's testimony incorporated this, where she was talking about the way that she used to feel in the comparison trap, right? Without a revelation to abide in him, you will either feel, number one, condemned. I mean, you know that Romans says there's now no condemnation for those who are where?
In Christ.
But who has ever woken up in the morning and you just couldn't get away from it? It just feels like the accuser of the brethren is just eating you for lunch. It's just, and it's not even based on what you do or you don't do. You just feel this content, nah, 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 like, stop it, get away from me. Nah, 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 skit, ah. You know, you just want to, but as hard as you work, it's almost like the worse it gets. Abide. I'm telling you, that's the secret. Or on the other hand, if you don't feel that condemnation, you feel, and I heard this in Jo Ellen's story, you feel frustration. You feel like you haven't grown enough spiritually. You feel like, man, I haven't seen, I want to see, fill in the blank. I want to see God heal somebody through me. I want to see revival come to my church, my nation. I want to see God do these miraculous things that I've read about. I want to see the dead raised. I want to, you know, whatever. Go for the big stuff, right? Whatever little thing or small thing. I want to see my children serve Jesus or my grandkids. Or I just want to see my campus come into a knowledge of the understanding of the goodness and love of the Father. Me too. Me too. Listen. It's like what I call this holy frustration where you never seen enough, done enough, felt enough in the kingdom. And what's the solution to that predicament? One word, abide. It was Jesus' solution for all of his friends is learning how to receive from God and abide in Christ. This is a silly illustration, but when you go on vacation each year, if you go on vacation, when you get a break, what do you like to do? Where do you like to go? Do you like to go on those vacations where it's just like theme parks, hiking trips, where you're just like going, going, going? Or do you like to put your feet in the sand, have a cold drink, sitting back in a chair for like sleeping in the morning? Weeks, I see most heads nodding to that. Gabe's not here this morning. I could pick on him. He's wanting to do, do, do. Mom and dad are wanting to sit, sit, sit. We've already gotten worn thin. So this is a preview to the main point here this morning. The secret to abide is to be rather than to do. In fact, I would submit to you that all of doing in the kingdom actually comes out of being. If you do before you be, you're in danger of dead works. Now, that's interesting because we just went through the book of James and he said faith without works is dead. Yes, but what comes first, the works or the faith? Faith. What is faith? Well, in this context, it's to be in Christ. I just want everybody to just take a deep breath with me this morning. Are you ready? One, two, three. The Lord says the pressure's off. That's a prophetic word. I just prophesied to you this morning. The pressure's off. You now no longer have to do anything to earn his love. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to register. You don't have to sign up. And what's even better is you didn't miss out on anything. It's not YOLO. You know, it's not the fear of missing out. It's none of, what is that, FOMO, right? It's none of those mos. It's none of that stuff in the kingdom. Is it on IG? Yes. Snapchat, whatever your social media preference. Those, the one of the difficult things about those is they're always creating that. But way before any social media, that's just another tactic of the adversary. I mean, because I would be reading the Bible and still feel that way. So what does that tell me? It tells me there's something internally. There's something internally that God wants to do in you. And that internally thing is himself. It's to abide. For those who are in Christ, you are now a new creation in Christ. The old things have gone. The old things of comparison, of traps. Let's read 1 John 15. I'm in the New King James this morning here. 1 John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father. Of course, let me remind you the context. This is the night before he died. His last will and testament, John 14 through 17. You can find those. So this is right in the middle of those chapters. Last will and testament before he goes to the cross on Friday. This is on like probably Thursday night. Of the many things he says in those chapters, this is one of them. So he's saying this to his 12. If you can leave your children with the very last things you want them to remember, this is one of them. Yeah. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. This is the theme of the series I've been doing from the book of James. You are already clean In the NLT, it was pruned and purified. You are already pruned and purified because of the words which I have spoken to you. Now, let me pause. What words had he just spoken to them? I can't go back and read them, but write down John 14. Go read John 14 and you're going to see the words that he just spoken to you. I'll give you a hint. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but have no fear, for I've overcome them. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And then Philip pipes up, Lord, show us the Father. And Philip, and Jesus is like, Philip, if you've seen me, you've already seen the Father. And then he goes on to say, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, guys. Don't worry. The promise from Abraham of the Holy Ghost is coming. And he's going to be to you like a friend. And then later on, he says, it's actually better that I go away. Because if I go away, then the third part of the Trinity is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to reveal me and my daddy. And that we're all smooshed up together. I want you to see a visual of the three-part Trinity. One God and three persons. They have these separate roles and personalities, but they're one, mysteriously. In a very complex language, they're smushed up together. They're all just smashed together. They're almost inseparable, but they have these parts about them. And guess where you are? You smushed up in the middle of them. You smashed up, right? Just mixed all up in the Play-Doh. The divine Play-Doh of heaven. You know, when you were a kid, you took the red and the orange and the green and the blue. Mama told you not to, Jamar, but you mixed them all together anyway. Why? Because you want to see, well, what color will this make? And that's how the divine orchestration of our lives are. Is he's meant that we are smashed up together with him. In him. And out of that Play-Doh, you have a very beautiful creation because he's the masterpiece.
That's right.
Ephesians 2, right? He's the divine poet. He is poetry in motion with your life.
Yeah.
But I've missed it so much. I don't feel like poetry. I don't feel like poetry. A lot of times, a lot of days, I'm not feeling the inner poetry flowing out. Does anybody know what I'm saying? It ain't rolling, Speedy. The freestyle is not coming out. You know, it's just, there's a clog there. Well, what's the disconnect? Abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask of me and I will do anything. Where did I leave off in one of those verses? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. We can't. Who wants to be fruitful?
Yeah.
We all do. But you know what's not going to produce fruit in my life is condemnation and frustration. Zero fruit. Never produce a single apple or orange of the Spirit. Frustration and condemnation. That does not work. That's why the enemy does it to you. Because he knows that if he can't keep you out of heaven, he can keep you from producing fruit. He can keep people like Joe Ellen from going to Uganda and healing the sick. But he didn't. Tricks on him. Let God come and take away any of those branches that aren't bearing fruit in our life. And some of those are mindsets. There's some mindsets that God's just breaking off in our lives right now. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, everybody say without Jesus. I can't do anything. Can you do something? Yes. You can do something in your own strength. Who likes that? Limited at best. I'm just not smart enough, good enough, kind enough, good looking enough. You know, it's just enough, enough, enough. And that's where the frustration comes. It's the world's comparison trap. But God says you're enough because you are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yeah.
For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What's the secret here? What do you need to abide in you? Words. Whose words? His words. Listen, listen, listen. Are you hearing? My words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It was on Sarah and I's wedding ring from October the 9th, 1999. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then what happens to your desires? They become like His. And what happens to His desires? They become like yours. Do you see the Play-Doh? You're getting all smack. Oh, but Lord, not my desires, but yours, only yours, God. I mean, I get it. Like, that's an honest prayer. At the same time, there's a detection of religiosity in that prayer. Because God wants to be a friend, a father, a companion, a lover in your life. And so when you're in love, your desires become her desires, and her desires become your desires. How many older couples finish each other's sentences? That's exactly why. Because they got all smushed up like Play-Doh. They got all smashed up together. Their lives are so intertwined. And that is the secret, is to abide. If you abide in me, my words will abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. More next week on prayer. I believe God wants to transform our prayer lives. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Somebody needs to take that nugget right there and chew on it for about 4 weeks. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And now, who does He call His friends? Tap your neighbor and say, that's you. You, His friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. What did He command? To remain in love. It's all about this love relationship. The command is love. No longer, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole three chapters. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant doesn't even know what his master is up to, is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jamie Winship wrote a book recently. It's kind of going around. I highly recommend it. It's a fantastic book. It's called Living Fearless. Yes. Living Fearless. If you're looking for a life-changing book, write that down. Living Fearless by Jamie Winship. But in the first chapter of that book on abiding, he defines abiding as this: the act of receiving and trusting all that God has and is for us in Christ. Did you guys get that? The act of receiving and trusting all that God has and is for us in Christ. Isn't that good? The Passion Translation translates verse 4 of what we read this way. So you must remain in life union with me. So I remain in life union with you. Don't you love that? You can kind of see the marriage covenant relationship or analogy, allegory. In that is the life union. Let a man leave his father and mother and be one with his wife. The life union coming together. This is God's heart for you. It's to simply abide. Again, being before you do what He's asked you to do. A few quick things here. First of all, I've already mentioned this one, but abiding is being rather than doing. Do y'all remember the old story about when Jesus went to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house for supper? They're going for a cookout. Oh, yeah, I said last week I wouldn't start talking about food. How about that cookout last Sunday, though? That was pretty legit. Thank you, Sherry and Eric, for hosting that at the barn. And thank you, Chuck and George. George, thank you for all. And Tavitris, all your coordination. And Chuck and Eric for staying up or getting up early and cooking. And for everyone who brought a dish and the stuff that you did, give yourself a hand. Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's maybe not a barn party, but Jesus is going to these folks' house on the way to Jerusalem, and they came there, and Martha welcomed him into her home, and her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Yeah, I don't have this on the screen either. This was another add-on last minute. Sorry about that, but I'll just tell you the story. But Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he was teaching. Okay, so there's Martha as a sister and Mary as a sister, right? But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Can anybody relate? Oh my gosh, I got a lot to do. I got to get my house ready. I got to get the turkey in the oven or the food on the table, whatever it is. And she came and Jesus is like, that's not fair. That's not fair. Lord, tell my sister Mary to come and help me to get this food on the table. She just sits here while I do all the work. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. But there's only one thing. Everybody say one thing. It's not in this passage, but I'm just going to say it again. Abide. The one thing is abide. You remember Curly in, what was that movie with Billy Crystal? City Slickers. There's one thing. You remember that? There's just one thing. I don't think it was abide in that movie, but it was just one thing. And it's called to abide in him. To abide. And this is essentially what Martha's doing. Is she's sitting at his feet while her sister's all upset and concerned about many things. Mary, Jesus says, has discovered the one thing. And it won't be taken away from her. She is sitting, and what's she doing? She's receiving the words. Remember, if these words will be in you, then you'll bear much fruit. She is learning love. She's sitting at the master's feet. Abiding is being rather than doing. Secondly, abiding is receiving a grace revelation and walking in it. Remember it said in the passage, without me, you can do nothing. That right there is the foundation of a revelation of God's grace in your life. Grace in the terms of God's empowerment. Grace in terms of God's goodness in your life, that it's about him in you, not you anyway. It's that Galatians 2:20, right? Christ in me, the hope of glory. That kind of grace, if you don't have that understanding, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll give it to you. Say, Holy Spirit, I just need a revelation on your abiding grace in my life.
Yeah.
Third, abiding is remaining in the Father's love. Again, you can go back to John 14, the story of Philip asking Jesus to show him. That's always humorous to me because Jesus has been with him now for 3 years. And this guy who's been with him essentially the whole time, Philip, one of the 12, is now asking him to show them the Father. And Jesus is sort of, in my mind, scratching his head like, no, here's the deal. We're one. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen him. If you want to know what he's like, just look at me and all that you've seen in my life. Abiding is remaining in the Father's love. Number four, abiding is friendship with the Father. Friendship with the Father. I've used this analogy many times, but it always comes back to me when I think about how Abraham was called a friend of God. What a powerful concept. I want that on my tombstone. Matthew, a friend of God. In other words, that's kind of like my life goal, is to not only be, but to be known as, man, that dude was a friend of God. Have you ever known somebody like that?
Yeah.
What would that mean? I don't know entirely. Other than there was just some connection. There was some relational thing, and obviously it was evident. But the New Testament gospel for Christians is that we can all be chosen to be a friend of the Father. You don't have to qualify. You just have to learn to abide and be in Him. Because here's what He says in John 14 is that a servant-master relationship, which is usually how we start out our Christian life. Like, I just want to serve God. I'm going to be a faithful servant. That's not a bad thing. That's good, and that's always a dynamic that will always be a part of our Christian life, right? He is our Lord and King. We are His vassals. We are His servants. We are serving Him. However, the only problem with the servant-master relationship is you don't know what's up. You don't know what's going on in heaven and what that has to do with your life on the earth, right? And at certain levels of spiritual maturity, that's okay. Because God, you're sovereign, as obviously He is. You're in control. So just tell me the rules. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. I'll be faithful. I'll just be a faithful servant. But what Jesus indicates is, yeah, but there's a next level He desires for you. Not just to be a servant, but also to be a friend. To walk in with friendship with the Father, where He's actually going to let you in on heavenly information. He told the disciples that it's your inheritance to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Or another translation is the secrets. If your best friend had a secret, do you want them to tell you what it is? Obviously, don't hold on me, right? If you've ever been in, don't hold, you know something? I want to know what the secret is. He wants to share with you secrets about His kingdom, about the unseen spiritual world that maybe you didn't even know. You didn't even know existed. This is one of the key things about learning to abide. And really, it's not learning. That's not a good word. It's being. It's just receiving. And so the last thing, and I'll get to this more next week, is number five. Abiding results in an effective prayer life. And Jesus speaks of this because when you abide in Him and He abides in you and you're all smushed up within the Trinity, then you begin to pray, to talk to Him as a friend would with another friend. And you begin to intercede and to stand and even to do spiritual warfare based upon what you see coming out of heaven. Now, we commonly do this in worship and in prayer in church. Here, we did this here this morning. The worship team is singing a thing in the second song that was like, was it In the Father? What was that phrase we kept singing? Does anybody remember that towards the end of the second song? Like we belong to You. We're in You. We're Yours. We're Yours. You're ours. You're ours. We're Yours. We're Yours. And then Tiffany comes up and leads us into that, into another level of it. And what is that? Well, they're just hearing slash seeing in the heavenly realm, in heaven, which is all here now, what's going on. And then we're just coming into agreement with that. What is that? It's a form of prayer. Okay, so it's dancing, Michael just said. Yeah, it's the divine dance with the Lord. We're just dancing with Him. He's the leader. We're just taking the hand of our bridegroom as the bride of Christ, and we're dancing with Him across the floor. And as we do, guess what happens? All of heaven gets released, not just in our lives, but into the world around us. Woo! You see, the secret to effective prayer, I'm getting ahead of myself, is not trying harder.
Yes.
Who wants to do that? It's not even fasting more. I'm not saying it's not fasting. I'm just like, it's not all of these things that we think it depends on us. No, it's the divine romance. It's following His lead. And in that back and forth, then our prayers become His prayers. He prays through us in a very beautiful thing. It's said to be abide in Me. And My words will abide in you. This is a crazy thought, but could it be possible that you come into such intimate friendship with the Father that when your words are coming out, they're actually His words?
His words.
We don't want to be presumptuous. We're not deifying ourselves, obviously. That would be stupidity. But this is the relationship that Jesus is getting across last will and testament. Let's put it in the will for all the descendants. This is what I meant for you, my people. So simply abide. Just rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I desire that you walk into the wide open spaces of my grace and my glory and let it be revealed to you. Put a smile on your face. You're good enough. You don't have to measure up to what standard someone else set, other than the standard of what Jesus is showing you in the revealed scripture and through his words. Amen. All right. You guys. Okay, hold on.
Don't stand up yet.
You got another sermon to preach.
No, I'm not preaching another sermon. But this is really awesome. I just love how good God is. Right? Because, you know, when you're sitting here listening, I'm getting all this other revelation about Martha now.
Yeah.
Martha and Mary. And, you know, because when you're listening to this, you could think, oh, well, but somebody has to take care of the babies. Somebody's got to change the diapers.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones that will cry. Yeah. And you can't leave them there while you're abiding.
Yeah.
Like Mary. But what I learned was there's this thing called between the washer and the dryer and at the kitchen sink.
Come on.
And it's how God wants to come and abide in you. It's our inheritance.
Yeah.
It's who we are is in Christ. Our inheritance of his presence with us. In the middle of what we're doing. He wants to come up in the middle. Because I had this struggle, and I don't know if anybody understands this, but when the Lord was really pouring out in our church and I had little bitty babies, somebody had to take them home.
Yeah.
You know, put them to bed. And there was this thing of FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, all y'all are getting to be there in the middle of these amazing presence meetings, and here I am. Right? And thankfully, I already heard my mom's story because she had had the same thing happen when she had little kids and the Lord was really pouring out around her and she was over the kitchen sink and she was thinking, Lord, what do I do? Like, and the Lord gave her this song called You Satisfy Me. You Satisfy Me. And she was singing it over the kitchen sink. And so I remember then when I had little kids, I was like, okay, Lord, I really want to experience your presence. But I'm here, and they're all there, and they're all going to come home and tell me about how good it was. But he said, Sarah, I'm going to come right up in the middle of your dirty laundry, right up in the middle of you changing those diapers. You're where you're supposed to be right now, and you need to know that I'm right up in the middle of it. That is abiding. That's abiding. That's his promise. Yeah. That's our inheritance. Yeah. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Our inheritance is his presence in the middle of it all. There he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the being. Yes, believe me, take time to get quiet by yourself. And if the kids come or if things come up, then just say, okay, Lord, you're in the middle of it with me.
Yeah.
But what I realize is we don't take off the hat of abiding to go to the doing.
Yeah.
Right. Come on.
We stay in the abiding as we are doing.
That's good.
You understand? I think that was the part that Jesus was wanting Martha to know. Is it's not that you don't prepare the food. It's not that you don't, I want to abide in you. And I want to lift off all the worries, all the comparisons, all the nagging, fly, enemy thoughts that are wanting to come at you, that are stealing your joy in the middle of what it is I have prepared for you.
Yeah.
He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies.
Yeah.
Wherever we are, that he wants to abide.
Yeah.
He wants to come speak. He wants to encounter you just as powerfully as some powerful meeting. He wants to encounter you while you're washing the dishes and loving on your family.
Yeah.
It's really good news if we can get this.
It's really good.
Because it takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
It takes the pressure off of us feeling like we have to be or do something in order to encounter our Father.
Amen. Yeah.
That's good news.
Amen.
Right? And so that's abiding. Let's catch that. That's our inheritance.
Yeah.
That's the promise that we have, is that we get to be gushed up in the middle of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. His covenant, yes. His commitment to us is more than anything. He's saying, I'm coming after you.
Yes.
Goodness and mercy shall follow you wherever you are, all the days of every single day. Not just the day when you're in the glory zone. We used to turn to each other in the middle of some of the moments where there were piles of laundry up to you know where, and everybody in the house had been sick, and it was just terrible.
This one time, it was so bad. She packed up our SUV and loaded all the dirty blankets and clothes in the back to take it to the laundromat. We had a washer and dryer, but we just couldn't take it anymore. Like, oh, somebody else has got to do this. I mean, you know, those are bad times.
Yeah, and I didn't load them up to take them to the washer and dryer, to the laundromat, for me to do. I knew there were people there that would
right.
They would fold it. But when I found out how much it was, I was like,
oh my God.
Oh my gosh, I'm not going to
call you. Oh my God.
I'm like, sometimes you just need some help. And that was one of them days. But so, in the middle of those, we would turn to each other and we started saying to each other, glory zone.
Glory zone.
Glory zone.
This is the glory
this
zone.
This is the glory zone right here.
Yeah.
This is where we're going to experience the Lord and His presence right here. So
and then,
just say that, glory zone.
And this is Elijah in your life, is the glory zone. The glory zone was not just when he saw the victory.
Yeah.
The glory zone was, where are you, God?
Yeah.
And I just want you to know, anywhere you are that's difficult in your life, trying to get through those exams, trying to get the bills paid, trying, all the tries that we're doing, not saying you shouldn't try. Don't misunderstand me. Being in him is not doing nothing. It's just that apart from me,
you can do nothing. That's it.
You need that abiding in your life. So
I just
feel like the Holy Spirit wants to break off the flies, Lord of the flies. So if you want that, just stand up to your feet this morning. And I just want Sarah Ruth to just pray that the Holy Spirit would just break this off and that His abiding glory would be felt in our lives.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence.
Yes.
We thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, just to come. Lord, it says you anoint our heads with oil and that our cups will overflow. Well, a lot of that anointing is to remove the flies.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we just ask you right now that you would anoint our heads. You would anoint our minds. Lord, let this mind be in you, in us, Lord, the mind of Christ. Lord, that you would give us your thoughts towards us. Your thoughts are more than the grains of sand toward us.
Yeah.
Lord, so we're asking you for your thoughts.
Yes.
Lord, we want to abide in your thoughts, your ways. Lord, it says, ask and you will show us great and mighty things which we do not know.
Yes.
So, Lord, we want to know those things that we don't know, Lord. We want to know your ways. We want to see things from your perspective. So, Lord, we're asking you in the middle of it all that you would take us up, take us in, that you would surround us by your presence. Lord, we thank you that we're smashed up in between. Our inheritance is to be in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, that our inheritance is your presence with us always. So, Lord, we choose to lean in to your heart. Lord, we choose to snuggle, don't struggle, and nestle, don't wrestle. So, Lord, we just choose that right now. We're going to snuggle into your heart and not struggle. We don't have to struggle to get there. You've done everything we need to bring us into union with you in Christ. And so we snuggle, we don't struggle, and we nestle, we're not going to wrestle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just want to share a practical, especially as we go into the work week, school week, just to walk this out practically. Because it's true what Sarah was saying, like, he can really meet us when we're in school, when we're in work. That verse that she was quoting about just the thoughts that he has for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many infinite heavenly thoughts that he has towards us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things he started teaching me about abiding when I was in college, and I would be bored in my classes, I'd be like, man, what in the world? Why am I taking this class? And he'd just be like, ask me what I'm thinking right now.
Mm.
And really abiding is this awareness that he is always with us.
Yeah, that's
wherever
good.
Wherever we are.
Amen.
So when you're in the classroom, when you're doing homework, when you're working on something technical or something that seems like really mentally draining, mm-hmm. take a moment just to pause. Just say, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask him, God, what are you thinking right now? Mm-hmm. And let his presence just meet mm-hmm. you right where you're at. And then begin to surrender as you're doing your work or as your schoolwork, your work for your job, raising your kids, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there are places of his presence and his love.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's joy, sometimes it's comfort, whatever scenario you're in, where all of a sudden there's this awareness of he's with me.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I just wanted to share that so that practically as you go out, it's like, oh, I received this revelation on Sunday, but what do I do with it during the week? Mm-hmm. Just thank him mm-hmm. and ask him, what are you thinking, God?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's so good. So bless y'all. If you need prayer, Tracy and Ken, can you guys be available to pray for people up here and maybe Tim and Laura up here or any of our ministry team? We just want you to, if you're a guest with us, just want you to be blessed. I really pray that God would just love on you this week. If you need prayer for anything, these amazing couples are up here to pray with you individually. And we just pray that the Lord's peace would go with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That his presence would be your portion. And that he would abide in you as you are in him.
Yeah.
In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you. Be blessed.